Mitch did let me know that he was looking forward to a nice message on the family. He said that he knows he needs it. And I said, well, your wife gave me all the points, so no. All right, Joshua 24. I'm going to use this just as a springboard tonight to dive into this message, although I will be, you'll see, I'm going to draw principles from what we see from this verse as well. And anyhow, Joshua 24:15 says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." Look at the level he brings it down to as he's addressing the nation. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we certainly love you. I thank you for your word. And Lord, as we take some time tonight to talk about the family, I pray that you would use your word to be a help, to strengthen us, Lord, in the areas that we're doing well in, strengthen that and encourage it even more. The areas that we're doing weak in, please, we pray for your help and wisdom and how we can do better. Lord, I pray for your blessing and your help. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, more than likely, I've already planned this for several months. Probably the Spring Men of Faith or Women of Virtue, I am going to be doing the parenting sessions for that again. It's been several years. I'm trying to do that about every 3 years. So that's going to be coming up for one of those, which will be 3 hours, just having the parents without the children present. I prefer that to get into more details of parenting without the kids sitting right there. So parents, if you could plan on attending that, of course, you'll have the specific date when I decide which one of those that I'm going to do. I have not settled on that yet. But anyhow, the parenting sessions will be coming up here shortly. I would imagine that multitude of, so we even heard a testimony tonight, we can recognize this is a Sunday night crowd, the importance that church plays in our life. When it's done right, it should play a very important and vital role. I mean, if you really think about what Ephesians 4 and other places describe the importance of the local church and what it is to do, it plays a vital role. Elijah, good to see you here. Rather good to see you here. So we all would recognize that. That would not be an issue. How many of us, of course, see the importance of government in everyday life? I mean, we have, and rightfully so, Christians heavily involved in government, seeing the need of having good, godly government. We recognize that. I think we all see, maybe to a lesser degree, some of the other ones. Well, I shouldn't say lesser because it is important. The importance of proper, good, godly education. Having a good education certainly can be important, especially in Western culture and trying to teach your children, raise them so they can survive in this world and whatnot. There's a necessity of a strong education behind that. All of us would agree that these things certainly are important. However, on the surface level, let me say this. However, I think there is something today that we are failing to see how important it is, although I think it gets lip service, but that is the family. All right, we can recognize the importance of church, of government, and all those different institutions, and we have no doubt with our voice, we all recognize the importance of family. But I really think it actually gets minimized, and we don't even realize it. The fact is, of course, as we know, if our families fail, so does the church. It does. If our families start heading another direction, that's the direction our church is going. That's what will take place. If our families fail, our government will fail. If our families fail, education doesn't matter anymore. It just doesn't. So the question is this evening, how is your family doing? How is your relationship to your husband, to your wife? How's your relationship with your children? How's your relationship with the you teenagers or children to your parents, to your siblings? What is the condition of your family? As we know, statistically speaking, over half, although it shows lower than 50% now, I think they show 40 and 42% divorce rate. But again, that is very skewed because of how many people no longer actually get married, so the statistics don't exist. But it's still, no doubt, over 50% of marriages that end in divorce. Yet it's something clear in the Bible that God declares, what I put together, let no man put asunder. God hates divorce. Rebellion among children in the day we live in is rampant. It's almost lived as if it's expected. And too often it seems that we see children that are raised in Christian homes, once they hit 18, 19, they're gone. Raised in churches just like this, hearing truth, but there's something not right. And as soon as they're old enough, they're gone. Let's think about this. We strive to make our churches great. I mean, from every aspect. Just think of just our announcements tonight. A cleaning night. We're going to have a work night. We're going to have all these different things because we recognize the importance of this institution, the local church. So know what we do? We put things in place. We have a structure. We have an order that we're trying to follow biblically, and we're trying to strengthen our church, to put things on guard for our church. We've got to look out for this, have this in place, because we know we've got to protect this. So we're very practical. We're proactive at protecting this institution. We work many times, in our case right now in America, to clean up government, to try and get godly leaders in, whether that's campaigning, whatever avenue that might take, and trying to have the discussions and convince and persuade people this is the way to go, this is what we need. We need the godly leadership. We need those that are governing out of principle and that was pragmatic, et cetera, et cetera. We work to that end, and we should. There's nothing wrong with that because we recognize the importance of having a good, godly government. So we put things in place to try to obtain that. And yet, how often, while we're working on all these different things, do our families fall apart? I think of good, I mean, as far as the been in church and serving and not playing a game with it, I can think of people that I know. I'm thinking back to the 1990s, a guy that I used to go door-to-door with, used to fellowship with, have him and his wife eat over at our house. We'd be at their house. He was an officer in the Air Force, and just such I'll still never forget when I got the call. I was on a furlough, and said, "Hey, I'm gonna be by your house. Can let's get together?" He said, "We can." He goes, "However, I got to talk to you before you come." Little did I know the marriage had fallen apart. A divorce was already taking place. And standing there on his driveway, listening to all that had happened, and just never saw it coming. Just didn't think it would happen. Involved in so much, and yet the family fell apart. So what is the problem? Obviously, I can't simply cover that in one message, and this certainly isn't going to be exhaustive, but I do want to hit on something that I think is key. I mean, we hear the instruction of the Word of God, and it is so important because everything does start with a husband and wife relationship. How the husband is to love the wife. How the wife is to be, and I should put there love, how the wife is to be submitted to the husband, to honor the husband. How we are to train our children in the way of the Lord, to teach them the way they should go. We know those principles. We have them. We see it. We have the knowledge. So what's wrong? For most of us, listen, it comes down to we are so geared to, when I was in the Air Force, I was a fuels guy. So before I went into the accounting side of that, which is where I spent 7 of my 9 years, the first couple of years was getting a fuel truck, heading out to a flight line and putting fuel on aircraft after aircraft after aircraft after aircraft. When I did that process, I had with me, it was in plastic sheaves, it was several pages, and what that did was a series of instructions that reminded me step by step everything I needed to do. So I didn't cause a fuel spill or wreck an aircraft or anything of that sort. All written out, detailed by detailed by detailed. And you had, by the way, it was mandatory to have that with you. Every aircraft you're out, open up to the appropriate page every single time that had to take place. All right? And it was what I was trained off from the time I went off to tech school. It was the very same thing they were using. Every single, I knew that they directed me every step of the way. You will do this, then 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 you will do this. And I thrived at it. Having a clear checklist to go off of made it easy. I could do that. And too often what we see is we often look at the Word of God almost as a checklist. Because that's how we're almost how we're trained in life, especially as men. And so we think, okay, so this I got a this, then I got a this. Okay, I'm going to do this. All right. Family meeting. Wife, I will love you as Christ loved the church. You will submit unto me. Maybe not that. I'm being a little, obviously, joking on that side. But nonetheless, children, you will obey us. We got it. We're going to have a successful family. Nope. No. It's not going to work. That sounds foolish to you, but that is the checklist. So what's wrong? What's wrong is we look at it as a checklist. What's going to be most important for the success of your family? And I'm not just talking to dad here. Many times I'm addressing this to dad, but that's not what I'm doing. All to listen to me. This is true for dad. This is true for mom. This is true for every single teenager. Matter of fact, anybody that can basically read and beginning to comprehend right from wrong in age. What's going to determine the success in your family is your own walk with God. Because it's not just a checklist that we're dealing with biblically. We understand we're dealing with relationships with people before an almighty creator that we are trying and we have in these sin-cursed. You see, when I was in the Air Force with that checklist, my sin nature had nothing to do with that. Do you understand? There was nothing against my nature that I had to do there. Nothing. It's a piece of cake. To get my paycheck, I can still probably go through the exact same process. How to pull up to the aircraft, the exact angle I needed to be, get out, chalk that truck immediately, ground it, bond it to the aircraft, pull that ridiculous heavy fuel hose out, all the way out, extend it all the way out, give it over to the crew chief by the receptacle that's going to be on the aircraft, head back, hit, there was about three or four valves I had to control at that time, so get the selector, get a dead man switch, hit the PTO, and hold that dead man switch, and the fuel would start flowing. None of that went against my nature. Easy to do. Do you know that often that loving your wife as Christ loved the church is going to go against your nature? Do you know, wives, that submitting unto your husband at many times is going to go against your nature? I know here every single wife has no problem submitting. It's just so easy to do. Too often we look at it as a checklist. We fail to see the importance of that relationship with God in order to have the family, in order to love my wife as I need to, in order for her to love me, to submit as she needs to. For the Christian, it all comes down to our relationship with the Lord. The problem you see in the home is not that the husband is demanding and does not meet your needs. Don't get me wrong. That very well be true, and that's going to be a problem. I'm not questioning that. But that's not the major problem. It's not. And we can try and checklist that off. We can try and checklist that and say, okay, all right, now listen, husband, you got to stop that. You cannot be as demanding, and I'm going to give you wise counsel. Stop being demanding to meet your wife's needs. Okay, yes, sir, got it. Good, this was the easiest. Let's pray and go. Is that going to work? Maybe for about an hour in the car. Then it's going to fail. Why? Is the knowledge present? Yes. There's a sin nature involved. The problem is not your nagging wife who never desires to meet your needs. The problem is not the rebellious teen who doesn't listen to you. The problem is not your parents' teenager. Listen, our problems can be traced back to our relationship with God. Let me explain. Let me explain this. I know that there's going to be times and multitude. There's so many dynamics to so many families. And again, let me try and explain and be a help here. In Joshua 24:15, the reason why I chose that verse is because of the setting, what was taking place, and where Joshua went with his command to the nation. He made it very personal. He says, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So what Joshua did before the entire nation, he made his family a priority. He made his family a priority. The leader of the nation of Israel understood that even for the sake of the nation, he didn't even make it his first concern when he's dealing with all that they were facing, all the temptations that were there. He says, listen, I am telling you, we're starting with me. Isn't just simply the laws of our nation, but I am telling you, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So it is family that is made a priority, which shows something about Joshua's heart before God. It showed some understanding that he had and how this was to work. It wasn't his nation, it wasn't his tribe, it was his family. So, if our country is going to make it, and I've said this many times, the key isn't the Republican family, the Republican Party, it's our families. We know from Scripture in Genesis chapter 2, 18 through 24, that God makes family a priority. I mean, the very first thing he gave to Adam was a wife. And isn't it amazing how the Lord did it? The wisdom that God used. When he allowed Adam, he could have started off and had Eve there immediately, but he didn't. It was to allow Adam to see, I need this person. There's not a helpmeet for me. I mean, I see everything that's here, God, but I don't have that. That's what he wanted him to recognize before he supplied him with a wife. He needed to see his need. And too often, we fail to see the need we have of each other. We need to see the need that we have for our spouse. That produces so much. I could just preach on that alone. The appreciation that that's going to give. The grace that's going to allow you to have at times. When you realize this is a gift from God. Or as Proverbs puts it, was it Proverbs 2, 22-17? My good thing. So family has to be a priority. I mean, our family, after all, with the husband and wife relationship, the parents to children, is a picture of our relationship to God itself. And our church is dependent upon strong, godly families. So think about this. And I need to use wisdom, I think, in how I say this. We can have families here right now that just masking all the problems. Whether there's bitterness, anger, evil speaking, despair, hurt. And we learn to mask those instead of dealing with those. And listen to me. The reason you're going to have trouble dealing with those on both sides, that goes back to your personal relationship with God. Not that it's horrible. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying you're not reading your Bible. Remember, I preach the message. Sometimes your faithfulness to your Bible reading sometimes can be the thing that trips you up the most because you think you're right just because you do it. And then what happens is, if that becomes the habit, it will start to carry over into other areas. The church, all of a sudden, when that becomes predominant within families, will become superficial, just like a mask is superficial. And we will struggle to make a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we all understand, we've heard it, and it is true that if you lose your family, you've lost God's will for your life. Parents, let your children see that, of course, God Almighty, with you, in your family before God, is a priority. Teaching your kids how God is the pearl of great price. Trying to get them. Listen, it's not in my notes right now, but it will be in the parenting class. It's just hitting me now. Remember, our goal for our children is not right behavior. It's not. The goal is the relationship with God, which produces right behavior. If you parent just from the aspect of right behavior, when you're around, you're going to get the right behavior. When you're not around, you won't. We want our kids to see that God is the pearl of great price. That nothing, there's nothing else in this world. It's not the best education, that's the pearl of great price. It's not the best job, none of those things. It's not sports, it's none of that. I mean, I had a pastor friend of mine who lost his boys to the world. And I remember when they're young, you could see it coming. Because he had elevated sports so much. Listen, I love sports. My kids will all tell you I love sports. But they never saw it elevated in the house to the point of anywhere close to God. And you could see it. I remember being young thinking, woo, man, I think that's dangerous. It was just elevated and elevated and elevated and elevated. And guess what in his own children's eye became the pearl of great price? Sports. So that's the direction they chose. Do you understand that the vanity that's actually in that? I mean, if God is real, and He is, we're His creation, He saved us, and to give all that time and all that energy you got to such a level of vanity, I mean, we're going to be in His presence. It could be tonight. I mean, we're going to be in His presence one day. I mean, in truth, we sing it, but do you understand the reality of that truth? That when you do see Him face to face, it's going to be so clear. And not because the sin nature is done away with. That's not what I mean by that. But it's just going to be so clear when the Creator is there in His glory, mind you, Christ in His glory, that how nothing else mattered but Him. Nothing. It's going to be clear as a bell to you in that moment. And to have our children coming up knowing that. Your walk with God is so important. Again, we can know the truths of the Bible. That's not our problem. It's not a problem for probably not one person in here. The problem is in our relationship to God, to how those principles are demonstrated and lived. Because of our sin nature. Let me give some examples here. I didn't think I would take this long with this message. I'm just starting getting the second one. I don't know if I'm going to finish now, but oh, she's sleeping. I was going to pick on you guys. Wait, you can hold her stand up. I think it'll help the illustration. All right, Sharon, can you stand up on your bad foot? Is that all right? All right. So we have a saved Christian couple with children. All right. This is where the power of having a strong walk with God, where everything you do, including in your marriage, isn't for your spouse, but it's about God. This is where a difference comes in, because the world doesn't have that. The only thing the world has within their marriage for the motivation is each other. That's it. That's one of the reasons why so many fail. That's all they have. But you have two sinners living together. All right, so let's demonstrate this. All right, and so Daniel has not been meeting Sharon's needs. He has been ignoring her, coming home. Not, Oh, I shouldn't be divulging. I'm sorry. I forgot. No, I'm just kidding. There's nothing wrong in their marriage, just pure illustration here. But he's coming home, not hardly talking to her, not saying a word, distant, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Many traps that men can fall into. And Sharon's recognizing it week after week, and it starts getting her just a tad bit angry. I'm here with all these kids. And if you knew what a brat Ryan was, she should get an award every day. All right? I'm here with all those kids. And, then I'm having to put up with this as well. And what's going to happen is she's going to respond to him based on how he is treating her. All right? That's the trap. It is your walk with God that will help you not respond to your spouse based on how she's treating you. It's where all of a sudden has to kick in that moment. What has to kick in that moment when it's difficult is, I know he's doing that, but I got to honor God. I got to do what God would have me to do. That's where your walk makes the difference. And then, by the way, when you have that, boy, is he going to be susceptible to God's chastisement. Or God even using the conversation of the wife to change the husband. And we can apply that vice versa as well. But we have a verse directly stating that, of course, in the Word of God. You see, we learn to respond to each other based on how the other is treating us. Because that's what we do as people. Instead of responding to the other person based on how can I honor God in this. Teenagers do it all the time with parents. Your parents all of a sudden, they do something you don't like and you want to respond in kind. Well, I'll show them. No, you're saved. You are responsible. Say, in that situation, say, God, what would you have me to do? How can I honor you? That's making your life, listen to me, about God. Or she could get mad. And listen, this is where the devil comes in. The devil get in her mind and say, listen, he doesn't deserve it. He's not right with God. And why did God do this to you anyhow? Why did God put you in this anyhow? I don't need to respond to God this way. God's not been good to me. Oh, the devil's a master at that. And you're falling for such lies and such deception. When the answer to the strength you need comes back to your relationship with God. By the way, that goes with how you respond to your kids. Kids, again, how you respond to parents. I didn't have, when I got saved, it certainly was not a Christian home. It wasn't. I had to be, and really growing up, you guys can sit down. I'm sorry. Go ahead, sit down. You're going to be there the rest of the time. Again, I had very few even rules governing me going as a teenager. I'm trying to remember if I even had one. I'm trying to remember if I even had to be home at a certain time. I might have, but I don't remember it right now. So I knew in that situation, and sometimes I think I almost had, I wouldn't change it for anything. You should be so, so, so thankful that you grew up in a Christian home. It's far better, far, not even close. But in the one way where I think it helped me was, I learned if I'm going to follow God, it's because of God, not because of mom and dad. It's you choosing to do right in that situation because you want to honor God. Yeah, but dad shouldn't have came home and yelled at me that way. You're right. He shouldn't have. But now you have an opportunity to honor God. You stay faithful to do what you know to do is right. What this helps is this. All right, listen. It doesn't remove our flesh in those moments. It's where we're trusting God for the grace and strength in the moment to respond correctly, spiritually as we should. It's not always easy. I'm married. Been married 30, 30-some years that I've been married. And I think 33. 36? Is that how long I've been married? Wow. Sorry about that. So anyhow, I'm going to close in prayer right now. All right. You respond to me based on how God will respond to you, woman. What? No. That's why I'm preaching this right now. I don't know where I'm at now. That's all gone. Those traces are gone. Yeah, that's gone. I don't know where I was. Oh, the point was that I messed up. Been married all those years. So it fit perfectly, actually. See that? There's times that I've known where how hard it is to try and say, Lord, okay, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to respond with grace. It is difficult. I understand that. But those are the key moments that make the difference. And what happens is this. Listen to me. So instead of when that relationship with God is strong, and let's say a spouse isn't meeting the needs or there's a problem with the kids, instead of it leading to anger, okay, you have the potential to leave it at disappointment instead of anger. It's never going to be, oh, happy. There's going to be disappointment. There's nothing wrong with that, by the way. It's when all of a sudden anger kicks in. And we use that emotion to guide our decisions. And sometimes the anger is it. Sometimes there are things that happen that are right to be angry. But you better sin not. Because if you don't guard that anger, the devil has another tool waiting. It's the bigger gun. So far he's had out the BB gun and maybe a little .22. The heavy duty stuff is right around the corner. It's called bitterness. That's the weapon he wants to get to drive that in any of the relationships that he can. The key to the strength in those moments is learning that when a spouse or a parent or a teenager isn't the role or not meeting the needs as they should, where you have the ability to trust God with those needs, to trust him for the grace and strength. He is there. He does know. He does know. Listen, the strength of our church will be based on the strength of our families, where we're not just masking things, where we take our relationship with God serious, trusting him in those moments, with heads bowed and eyes closed. Listen, let's determine we don't want to lose our families. Let's see the importance of it. As the leader of the nation of Israel, in one of the most important political speeches he ever gave, simply brought it down to his family. And the key does come down to our own strength based on our walk with God. Now let me ask this here tonight. Is there anyone here say, Pastor, actually this scene of my salvation has been bothering me. I need you to pray for me. I am not certain that I am on my way to heaven. I don't know if I've truly been converted. Please don't walk out of here tonight with getting that assurance. Let me pray for you at the very least. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? I won't call you out. Just put your hand up. You can put it back down. I see some small children. I'm not seeing anyone else. All right. Christian, if you need to come and pray this evening, come and pray. Father in heaven, bless this invitation, Lord. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Page 536, 536. If you need to come and pray, come and pray.